Hey everybody, welcome to Comedy on Vinyl. Once again, we have a sort of unusual episode. We are speaking with Matt Knutson, who is hilarious. I saw him live on Conan a couple weeks back. It was the first live episode I'd seen of Conan since 12 years ago in New York. And he was hilarious, and he was kind enough to agree to come on. And the album kind of surprised me, as it might surprise you, that he wanted to talk about, which is Dice Rules by Andrew Dice Clay. Matt's act is fairly clean and quite funny. And to be honest, I didn't really listen through this whole album. Mike did, which is lucky, but I'm not even sure when the last time Matt heard it was. And he doesn't necessarily have the most glowing recommendation for it at the end. So, again, it's an unusual episode, but it does have an important place in Matt's life and is related to, you know, some of the first experiences he ever had listening to comedy. So it's relevant. And either way, he was a lot of fun to talk to and quite hilarious. So I hope you enjoy the episode. And also, please make sure to go to the Comedy on Vinyl Facebook page. And if you haven't liked it yet, please like it today. And make sure you join the event. We have a live episode of Comedy on Vinyl coming up here in Los Angeles on May 28th at Improv Olympic West, IO West. And yeah, if you check that out, just click, you know, you can invite yourself. Anybody can be invited. Invite all your friends. Come to see this live episode. It's going to be $5 to get in. There are drink specials, and there's also two-for-one specials if you show the invite on your phone, print the invite out, whatever. And yeah, so check it out on Facebook and send your friends to iTunes and go to iTunes yourself. Rate us highly and definitely leave comments. If you leave comments, that helps us get up in the iTunes rankings. Thanks so much, and enjoy this episode.
Because of the weird time lag, I haven't been able to listen to all of Dice Rules, but Mike...
I've listened to it.
Mike listened to it. Yeah. Mike's listened to it, and... but yeah.
Dice Rules.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry, I should probably introduce this. Hey, everybody, welcome to Comedy on Vinyl. Mike is with me again.
Yes.
And with me, as not usual, is Matt Knutson.
Hey, what's happening? I'm less frequent than Mike.
Slightly.
Being this my first and only time.
He's already decided yes. He's not coming back.
However, I feel like a regular already.
Oh, good. Yeah. You should. I wonder, where are you from originally? I was born
in Honolulu, Hawaii. Ooh, wow. The one that's by Alaska and all the maps. yeah, Hawaii, and I kind of grew up across the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Went to high school in Orange County, and then I moved to L.A. in, you know, 98.
So,
looking at a guy living his dreams.
That's good.
Just in case you were... wanted to take a photo. And like, do you have photographic evidence of a dream liver? As a matter of fact. And then you just like, it's like a slideshow thing on your iPhone. Here he is. He was the regular with Mike. Regular.
This is the first, well, it's kind of cool because like I saw you first on Conan because I finally got to see a live episode.
Amazing.
And it was a great set.
And oh, thank you very much.
And I laughed way too loud at one of your jokes before you got to the punchline, because I knew what the punchline was. It was that good a joke, right?
It was
the Milton Bradley joke.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Where you said, until
yeah.
my grandfather turned 81.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a really fucking good joke.
And, thank you.
It was hilarious. But we're trying to get more people on here that maybe, you know, that I'm not hearing enough about, because I don't go see a lot of stand-up.
Sure.
I'm an asshole.
Well, sure.
Basically.
Well, I mean, we just met, and I can confirm that.
I can confirm it.
Mike's
known me a lot.
Yeah.
I can see the stilted eye contact between you and Mike, and I...
Yeah, I'm a big piece of shit. Yeah. So, but...
Maybe you should change the name of the podcast.
Jason
Klom.
He's an asshole.
Non-comedy going piece of shit. I might have to start one and call it that. Even though you're not involved in the podcast
right.
in any way.
No, just
I'll
call
still
it
call it, yeah.
So should, yeah. I like that. I'd be
get,
flat.
Grab a pen. We should be getting some of this down. Yeah.
Luckily, it's all recorded, so you can go back to it and refer to
good
it.
Good Lord.
So, I was actually really surprised after seeing your set when you said you'd like to do Dice Rules by Andrew Dice Clay.
True.
But then again, you're on TV, so you have to be clean. But right. I don't use your act. Is that generally what your act is like?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean,
pretty
for
clean?
For the most part. And
yeah.
I mean, not that I sit down and intentionally, like, well, I can't say this or I can't. Because I do have stuff that, you know, if it makes you laugh.
Yeah. Sure.
You
yeah.
know. Like I said, told my wife when I die, I want her to take my ashes down to Venice Beach with a few friends. And when the tide comes in, just pour me into her pussy. Because, you know, that makes me laugh.
Right,
I have it,
right,
and I do it. But, you know, for the most part, it's stuff that you could do on The Tonight Show.
Right, right, yeah, right, right, right. Yeah. Well, you gotta have those kind of things, too.
Well, it's The Late Show. Oh! Yeah, easy. Yeah. Calm down, everyone. Oh. People ask me about kids, and I say, when they do that, I bring them in real close, and I say, oh, she's not getting pregnant where I'm putting it. All right, calm down, everyone. I meant her sister. Give me the road button on the podcast. The podcast gets the road button.
God. So what about... Okay, then let's...
So there's the way to it.
So, yeah, right. There
not even that. You know why I picked Dice Rolls? And first of all, I love the idea of your show. I think
thank
it's,
you.
I
okay,
think
thanks.
It's really cool. Dice Rolls, I never hung out and listened to comedy with people when I was, like, growing up. I love Bill Cosby. Here's, like, my 1, 2, 3. Bill Cosby, Jerry Seinfeld, and Steve Martin are, like, my three favorite comedians.
Yeah.
But when I was listening to them, I had, like, that, you know, I remember having cassettes of Bill Cosby and, you know, listening with my Walkman or if you had it in a little tape player in your room or something. Dice Rolls was the first time that I remember in my life sitting around a room, you know, with, like, my high school friends and, like, listening to albums together and, like, well, now we're bonding over comedy. This is funny, you know?
Yeah.
And I think sharing a laugh with someone is a very powerful connection.
Yeah.
So, and I honestly, I don't remember anything off this album except that that's what my friend Dan Patrone bought. And we listened to it, like, in his room after school.
Yeah.
And I listened to it again, and I was like, I don't even remember any of the comedy or any of the stuff that was on it. I guess I remember the connection more.
Sure.
But I was listening to it live, and I don't know, it was interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
We haven't done Dice yet at all.
No, not at all. Well, nobody's suggested, and actually, you're the first person, by the way, to say that this is why you listen to an album without having to be fucking prodded. I usually have to say, hey, so did you have any albums, and this is the album for you. You made friends over.
If there's one thing I can do, it's incorporate the question in my response in case you need to edit your voice out later.
Exactly.
Why am I so opinionated? I'm glad that we have a chance to discuss this. I just did this on Wednesday with someone. I'm, like, doing a treatment or a sizzle reel kind of a thing. And I was like, could you just incorporate my question into your response? So, you know,
that's awesome.
Just in case. Maybe that's why it's fresh in my mind. Or maybe it's because I'm a consummate professional.
I could do it.
I'm kidding. How are we doing, Mike?
Wonderful. When I listened to Dice the first time in the same way you did, my friend got it because his dad bought it. He wasn't allowed to listen to it. And it wasn't this album, it was the one right before it where he did the first...
Hickory Dickory Dock.
Yeah, it was the first one. And it was like, we weren't allowed to listen to that at all. And so he's like, my dad's out of town, come on over! So it's like nerds who are just like, yeah, we're going to come over, we're not going to drink or do anything else, we're going to sit around and listen to comedy!
Yeah.
Like,
what
we're going to do, and then we're going to play D&D afterwards.
Sure.
So that's awesome.
And something about, like, banning it.
It
was like a watershed moment. We got to listen to it!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't have to look at the door for my dad to be coming in. What are you guys doing in there? Listening to comedy albums! As if you got busted for some kind of pornography.
Whenever I listen to comedy, my pants were down.
Comedy is my pants being down.
That's true.
Hello, nurse! Thought I'd tip my hat to Jerry Lewis. Thank you.
That was good. Amy Phillips, who just left, who was here last week, wink, wink, she does a lot of impressions. And where was I going with that, Mike?
I don't know.
All right.
Where are you going?
Fantastic.
I wish I could help you out there.
Yeah, something about Jerry Lewis and
Pratfalls?
Sure.
Throwing his back out?
Yeah.
But I was listening.
Being railroaded by the NBA?
What I got out of the album was how far I mean, we're in a revival of comedy, I think, right now. We're in a time where comedy is once again, I mean, not that it ever went away, there's always been stand-ups, but it's once again getting another boost where people are playing bigger and bigger venues and bigger. But to think he was playing Madison Square Garden, completely sold out, to like, and he was doing that on tours. That wasn't a one-time shot. Like, he was playing Boston Garden, he was playing, you know, Great Western Forum and stuff like that. And that was like the... I think wasn't that about the end of the of those stadiums, because it was around there, right? Yeah. I mean, because Eddie Murphy was
1990, right?
It didn't get any bigger. No. I mean, when you think about what you can achieve as a comedian, like, what would your dream be? I mean, that's almost, those venues are almost too big.
Yeah.
You know, 25,000, 30,000 people. That's a big show, and not a lot of people can do that.
No.
Even now, I saw Bill Cosby. Like 3 months ago or so, in the Thousand Oaks Civic Auditorium.
Really?
Yeah, and there was probably like, it's probably seats about 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah?
Yeah, he came out, he sat in a chair, and he just talked.
New material? Like,
I hadn't heard any of it before.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so he was up there for about an hour and a half, the show. Didn't have an opener. Just like walked out. Hey! Sat in a chair about 90 minutes into the show. He and the lights were, it was kind of like a brown out lighting where you could still see and, you know, connect.
But,
yes, this woman is like, oh, what time is it? She's like, oh, it's 9:30. He's like, oh, okay. And you expect like 5 more minutes, I'm going to wrap it up. He went for another half an hour.
Wow. So
then at like 2 hours, he's like, all right, and just got up and walked off the stage. And he was doing that like goodbye wave, like, we all know I crushed it. There was no question in anyone's mind and in his own that it was an undeniable success.
Still that good, huh?
Amazing.
God.
Yeah.
And how old is he now?
75.
Oh, wow.
70.
Christ,
mid-70s.
I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I didn't put as much stock, when I started the podcast, didn't put as much stock in stand-up maybe as I should have, because it's not something that I go around and see, like I've said. But my history is listening to guys like Carlin and listening to guys like Carlin over and over and over and over again. And there's a thrill.
No wonder Ivy clings. You know? Carlin's one of my favorites.
Yeah, of course. He's
such genius. 3,000 for Bill Cosby, and that was perfect. Can you imagine 25,000?
Korean delis, Indian newsstands, Greek diners, and ass-fucking parties every night of the week. That's New York. How are ya? What a fucking crowd, eh? Madison Square fucking Garden. Top of the world, man. And I feel the vibe in the room, a lot of energy. So we got some cute looking hoes hanging out. I'm all about pussy, I'll tell you that much. I live it, I dream it, I fuck it.
And you know what? That was another thing I noticed on the album as I was listening to it. And I hadn't, like I said, hadn't listened to it since, you know, the early 90s when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
The live at Madison Square Garden, it sounded like it was recorded in a room with like 180 people.
Yeah.
Right. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, hey. And they're like yelling at him and goading him.
Yeah.
Hey, look at these chicks. Yeah, go get her, man. And really? It was really active heckling.
Yeah.
And it felt like, you know when there's people around in a circle and like a bully's going to fight one of the kids, like, and just being pushed in, hey, go get a dice, hey! It was amazing.
Was there anything about that character as a kid that just appealed to you? Like, or was it just the...
I don't know. Not particularly.
No.
And you know what? I don't know if I was responding with the comedy as much as the experience itself.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where if you're like at a party and there's five people like standing around laughing about something.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a sixth person that's not like, ha, ha, ha,
right.
Let me get a harumph out of that guy.
Right.
Yeah. You watch your ass. So maybe it was that part. I mean, I honestly, and it's not even a comment about Dice. I think he's great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of the album that I listened to that I could pick out and say, here's a bit.
Yeah. A lot of it was conversational.
There was one, Three Beautiful Dates, that I listened to that I liked, that felt like a pre-written thing. But the rest of it was just like, you give the bull some love, you know.
Right.
Talking to the woman in front.
I'm just telling her to take her top off.
Yeah.
which was wonderful.
And only comedy album in recent memory that had a theme song to the comedian at the beginning.
Right.
Brooklyn Bad Boy, hey, I'm going to do my thing. Did you guys listen to that?
Yeah.
Classic.
That's what was blowing my mind a little bit.
And when you deconstruct what comedy is, like, especially stand-up, there's a microphone and a stage. That's it.
Yeah.
What you fill out with the stage picture...
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the belt buckles, I'm combing my hair. Hey, suck my balls.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm not a fan of Dice. But the thing is, when I was growing up, I listened to it because it was the thing that wasn't allowed. But for someone to be able to connect with that many people at that time, he just had something that people wanted to hear at that time. Apparently. I don't know what it was, but there was something that people wanted to hear. He was the biggest thing in the world at that time. In entertainment.
Yeah.
Not just in comedy. Yeah. You couldn't go anywhere then in the late 90s or late 80s, early 90s without seeing Dice somewhere.
What? He was in a couple movies, right?
Yeah.
Ford Fairlane.
Right.
Ford Fairlane. Thank you. I've never
He was really also in...
My body gets an amusement park. Everybody gets a ride.
He had a couple, supporting things. I forget.
But it was always the same character, too.
It was always the guy.
It was Dice.
It was always... Except, and this is what kind of broke my heart, too... kind of on the flow of the ebb, he got that CBS sitcom, and people were like, "Oh, I don't know," where he was like a mailman. Hey, I'm delivering packages.
Yeah, really?
And there was a big uproar from people. Yeah. Whatever the conservative people say.
Sure,
they're like,
sure.
He doesn't respect women. He's dirty. Yeah. And he backed off of it and said, he's like, I was just doing a character. It was all fake, everyone.
Yeah.
Because he wanted the show.
Sure.
Yeah. So that kind of broke my heart a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
Like finding out that Dean Martin never drank.
Right.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah, he didn't. That was
really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the early years of the Rat Pack, he would, always they'd be kind of snobby.
Sure, yeah.
But when he was doing television stuff, he would have the glass, but it was just iced tea.
That blows my
mind. What do you think about the comedians that are doing characters, quote unquote, like Larry the Cable Guy? Not to be specifically, but he was doing comedy for years before he found the character of Larry the Cable Guy became his character.
Same with Carlin. And later on, became angry. Fucking
yeah, but that was even less. I mean, what do you?
I mean, Emo Phillips.
Sure. I mean, if it works, it works. I'm not saying give a judgment of whether you like it or not. I just like general thoughts about it.
Bad.
I love Emo. God,
me too. We're going to be doing that soon, actually. We'll do one of his albums soon.
Nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Everybody's
to a degree got to have a character, some sort of a shield.
Joan Rivers.
Yeah. When you go up, I mean, what's in your head to sort of, I mean, what are you projecting?
Just trying to help.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you these things because I like you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to make your life better somehow.
That's awesome.
I don't know if that's a character as much, but
comes across. I will say that.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
You know, off stage too. We're all connected and we're all. So if you can have a prism where you're like, oh, you know, it's more fun to kind of keep it, for me, upbeat instead of like, this sucks. You know?
Right.
Because if you're in a bad mood and you go see a comic that does 45 minutes, that fucking sucks. You're like, everything does suck. You're right. I feel worse than when I went.
I feel like there's more of a wave of that coming through stand-up now.
Really?
I feel like, maybe there's less cynicism than there was in the 80s and 90s when sarcasm and anger and, Sam Kinison and all those guys were kind of dominating, and I don't see that as much. And it makes me happy, but I don't know.
There was a lot of anger in the 80s.
Sure.
I love
80s and 90s. Yeah.
Well, they were all fueled by cocaine.
Yeah,
To be fair, that is
true. It's true. I mean, I did a lot of cocaine before I even came today.
That's
so, what my point is? Cocaine. Do cocaine, kids. Any of you kids who are listening, do cocaine. Is it going to get louder because I lean towards the microphone?
Yeah, yeah.
He'll boost it in editing, too.
Yeah, add some bass to it.
Could you make that like my soundbite for...
Yeah.
Yeah, you could use it as a promo.
I'll do that.
Do cocaine, children.
Matt Knudsen says.
I've only done coke once, and I got really mad and wanted to fight everybody.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was like, I don't like this.
You weren't very funny.
No. No. It was not funny. I was, like, really angry.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't like it. I've had other friends who are like, hey, I did it. I see why people get addicted.
Right.
I'm like, nope, not me. Personally, I was like, I just want to punch everybody.
I think it'd be even funnier. Like, I did it, and I can see why I'm addicted. Like, well, you skipped out other people and made it yourself right away. I'm addicted. It's the first time ever. Love cocaine. Yeah.
Why? Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I'm not bashing coke addicts. I'm not trying to.
Damn
it! I just met you guys today, but yeah. I'm gonna safely assume that without coke addicts, you guys have no audience.
No, I completely.
It's exclusively like coke, meth, speed.
Oh yeah.
You know, the guys who are like cranking 36 hours. I got 36 hours of fill. Yeah. All of them with podcasts.
We get the stoners too because they have to listen to it four times because they drift off halfway through. So they gotta be down.
I hate to be this guy, but I think they, you know, a stoner listens to something for 4 minutes. He's like, this is so long. And then you have to turn it off.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good out here. And then they leave for toast, and you lost it.
Yeah.
Coke addict is like, I gotta listen. He's got it to 11.
Right.
And his eardrums are bleeding, but he got it. Jason and Mike, the chemistry's off the charts.
Oh, that part's not true. So, what do you think? What's so important about bonding over comedy? Why does comedy help people bond?
I don't know. Anything like that. Anytime someone asks me for advice, I always feel like a dick. I don't know. For me, I think it's easier to laugh with someone, and it's better and safer than trying to bond over, like, hey, fuck this dude.
Yeah.
Because anytime somebody, like, you're bonding over something negative, it's always... It's going nowhere.
How long have you been doing stand-up?
11 years.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm starting to figure it out.
It's good.
In the past two sets. The night before I got it. Last night, enjoyed it. Tonight, it's probably all going to go away. Yeah.
You know, make sure you record it, though.
It's you got to record all the sets,
Of course.
Yeah. I do record all my sets.
Do you?
Yeah, I've got, you know... them all recorded somewhere.
Are you a big notepad guy? Are you like, how's it go for you?
I'm just curious. Notebooks, scraps of paper, then make it into notebooks and then type it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that you can, it's easier to have things in Word documents that you can cut paste.
Sure.
Yeah.
I am interested in just how that works. I'm shitty at memorizing. I'm not much of an actor. I do a show every month where we just get to read out of a script, so it's not difficult for me. Like, how long does it take you to get
you know what would have been so great is if, like, you're like, I'm not good at remembering things, I'm a shitty actor, I'm pursuing a career as an actor. Talking yourself out of the gig.
Yeah.
There's one thing I hate, it's working with directors. I'm trying to be an actor professionally. I didn't mean to cut off the question. I felt like there was a potential comedy vein of gold.
It wasn't that good a question.
Yeah, that's okay. How long does it take me to prepare?
Yeah,
how is that, was that your question?
Sure.
For it like a show?
Sure. Yep.
It depends on how long you're doing and who you're doing it to. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing an hour or something, usually structure the, in my mind, I try to make a roadmap more so than like, you got 10 minutes. You know, 10 minutes I'm almost looser.
Yeah.
Because there's that floating vault of stuff that you could just go to anytime you want. But if you had an hour, I'd rather jot some things down.
Sure, sure. I mean, I just can't imagine. I mean, is that... So, to have those little chunks planned ahead of time and then to know that at some point... I mean, I'm sure you know ahead of time when you've got an hour coming up. How often does that even happen?
I don't do the road that much. Sometimes I'll go out and headline clubs or feature for some people I know.
Yeah.
Headline is 45 plus, feature is 20 to 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. I really stay in town to act.
Yeah.
And I write shows and I pitch and produce and I do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, doing the road without having something current that's backing up the appearance or trying to generate interest. Mm-hmm. Like if I was on an NBC sitcom and we shot 22 episodes and then, you know, in like March, between March and May, I'm going to have 2 months, then I'd go hit the road.
Okay.
You know. Yeah. But in the meantime, you need to be available for... Sure. For meetings.
What came first for you? Were you a performer? Were you doing acting and stuff when you were younger before you started doing comedy, or did comedy?
It was comedy first. Yeah, I always did comedy. Mm-hmm. And then I moved into acting. Well, I did improv, sketch, and stand-up. Kind of, I did all of them simultaneously.
Where were you doing improv? Did you take
classes? I started at the Acme Comedy Theater on La Brea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was also studying with a guy, Stan Wells, who used to be the artistic director at the Groundlings.
Oh.
He had a theater called The Empty Stage in Westwood. Mm-hmm. So they had drop-in classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, and then you could drop in, do like a three-hour workshop, and if you paid on Monday night, you could also go Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
So he kind of facilitated improv workout.
Okay.
And then we did shows on the weekend, like Friday and Saturday nights that people could come.
Cool.
I'm still in that group from those days.
Oh, really?
We've been together like 11 years, and we've probably done like almost 800 shows.
Really? Still doing improv?
Wow. Yeah, I do. I'm in 3 improv troupes.
Oh, that's awesome.
The Water Brains is the people, they're at Westside Comedy Theater.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm in another group called L. Ron Jeremy. And we did the King's Bench.
That's a wonderful
name. Ronger, I wish I thought of it. My friend Steve Benequist thought of that, fellow comic.
That's wonderful.
And a new group, Splots, which we do improv at the Two Roads Theater.
Okay.
In Studio City. And every week we have a guest host.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow night is Helen Hunt.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome.
So she just kind of jumps in and plays with us.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I think I learned how to be an actor from doing improv.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
What were, like, I guess we can go back a little further. Like, what were the first comedy albums or comedians you remember listening to or watching?
Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked watching tapes because my parents were very conservative, so I didn't really get a lot of... They weren't comedy fans, so I just kind of had to find it on my own. And they're great people. I love them.
Sure.
You know, but we just don't have the same, you know, interests. Like, they're adults, they weren't listening to the comedy.
Right.
Whereas I am now, and I do.
Yeah.
And they were, you know... music and, you know, reading. My mom's an artist. She's a great artist. Mm-hmm. She paints a lot. And, you know, my dad volunteers. So,
you were saying how improv got you into stand-up and stuff. I'm the opposite, actually. With me, it was, I've been an actor and a musician my whole life, and then it got me into improv, which I think put up blocks sometimes when I'm improvising.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always been taught since I was 5 years old, 6 years old, since I've been on stage, it's the script, it's the character, it's this. And then so when I was trying to do improv, the first class I went to was like a different world. It was a completely different world.
Right.
It was like just smacking me in my face.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the term that they use in improv is the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You go with, like, you know, and I always say yes. Always. And then you just kind of, like, build it. And you get to be an act. I guess you get to make yourself the character.
Yeah,
sure.
In a sense, you're not, like, taking on something like, I'm a pirate.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm me in the situation. Look, you just smashed my car. What do you do?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then that is you, but it's also you acting.
Of course.
And then you go and you audition for these things. And then it's you that walks into the room, but you've learned how to act like yourself in pretend circumstances.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so. That's exactly what David Mamet says about acting. Sorry to get off the comedy.
No, listen.
Mamet says the person you are is 100 times more interesting than anyone you're going to try to be. So you be yourself when you're up there as if you were put in a situation. You say the lines as if I'm in the situation and these are the lines I'm going to say. It's me saying it because that's more interesting and it's going to come across cleaner. So that's exactly
And that's why you cast real people.
Yeah
quote unquote, you know. Mm-hmm. I just did a BMW commercial on Sunday and I didn't do anything differently than the man who's sitting right here talking to you right now.
Yeah,
they just gave me the words to say.
Yeah. But it worked. That's awesome.
I wouldn't go that far.
No,
Jason.
No, it was a
failure. That didn't stay very well.
And they threw me off the set.
They fucking banned me from show business.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
unfortunate. I didn't know, they had the power to do that.
Well, this is the place to be. If
I have the blacklist.
That's right. This is my first act as band.
Come on a podcast.
Here on Comedy on Vinyl with Jason and Mike.
Next thing we know, you're going to have your own podcast. And then you're dead.
Yeah.
Water. So.
Full disclosure, half of it will be about David Mamet. But listen, here's the point. Hear me out. Oh, I love Hear Me Out. Yeah. That's one of my favorite jokes. You guys heard that one? You know that girl that says she's a real bitch. Everyone hates her. That's my sister. Hear me out.
Yeah, right. I just realized my tickets to the show were here.
Yeah, hear me out or let me finish. You have tickets to your own podcast?
No, tickets to the show where I saw you.
Conan?
Not. I didn't plant them. They've been there. I just forgotten to frame them.
I want to go.
Team Coco.
It was good. It was good. It was a great show.
It's interesting, this podcast, because we love to sit here.
I'm going to stop you right there. No, of course.
We're just talking about this earlier, that we're two nerds who've never done stand-up in our lives, and yet we love stand-up. I likened it to people doing video game podcasts that don't play video games, but it's not like that. The more I think about it, it's more like two literature professors who talk about writing and bring writers on to talk about it.
Yeah,
yeah, we read a lot, we listen to it a lot, but we don't really. We've never.
Is that
it.
Your hashtag humble brag way of saying?
No, we don't know anything about it. No, we don't know anything. About
I thought that's how you were backdooring me. What I'm saying is we're professors.
We're professors. No, we're just nerds who like comedy. Who never performed it. And I don't think I could ever do it, even though I've done improv and I've performed. Yeah. On tour with musical theater and a band, and I'd never be able to do improv. I mean, stand up. I just couldn't do it.
I'd like to do it, but I'd shit myself. There's no way.
It's not as hard as people think.
No.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy
it?
Is it a lot of fun?
It's great. I mean, connecting with strangers is kind of magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I get that when I'm all right. I get up there and I can sing an aria. I'm an opera singer. I get up there, I can sing, play piano. I can. Whatever. But they don't laugh. They don't have to laugh. I don't have to. If they just sit there completely silent, I can be like, I succeeded.
Right.
You know, I don't need that immediate.
Yeah.
I'll get the smattering of applause
desperately. Yeah. That's why I do that show. But it's drunk applause every time.
Right.
So.
I'll just settle for the clap.
Yeah.
Gonorrhea. Sorry, it took me so long in the podcast to get to gonorrhea.
Thank you.
I know you said 5 minutes in, but it's
5 minutes. I was gonna. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you guys read my performance writer.
Yeah.
We got to get all the VDs in and sub one before I leave. And I mean literally inside of me.
Inside of you.
Yeah.
Mike has a series of vials with him and syringes.
Oh yeah, yeah,
great.
Yeah,
and the M&Ms. Right?
Yeah.
Because that was also on the Reiner.
Yeah. If I see any brown M&Ms, you guys are through. You're through.
So, actually, we talked about this, but why the fuck are you holding a roller skate, Mike? Because it's in here.
It was back there.
We talked about this before we started recording for some reason. But I don't know. Okay, what was it like doing Conan the other day? Because that's where I got to see you.
It was a dream come true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Conan's the greatest.
Yeah.
So,
you look a little bit like him. You've got a little bit of a look going.
Yeah,
it's good.
That's funny. You know. That was one of the YouTube comments that I read.
Really?
Yeah.
No, we did not write that.
Don't go on YouTube and see the comments on your video. That's just a bad idea.
No, it's a horrible idea.
But one guy was like, what is this, Conan's cousin? Fuck this guy.
Come on, really?
Something to the effect of, like, I was related to Conan, and that's why I got the crack on the show.
Jesus.
But I was like, oh, well, thanks. Yeah, I don't worry about that. I mean, I think if... What you get most of the time is the feeling in your chest. And it's not just with comedy. It's with anything you do, like a paper you write and turn in, or like even cleaning the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that you did a good job and it feels right,
sure.
You are bulletproof from haters.
Of course.
If it sits and resonates with you, they can all eat your ass.
Yeah, you know? Well, after, to be fair, it was a nice palate cleanser, too, given like the... Kind of, we were so looking forward to the show, thinking there would be some great guests on.
Right.
Second guest was okay, but it was
Jeb Corliss, right?
Yeah,
almost died.
Nuts.
That's another thing. I'm so glad I didn't watch any of the show because, God bless him, the segment right before mine was Daredevil, who you guys were there, who almost died. So that whole chunk was like. If I had heard how few laughs were happening before that, I might have got a little like, I don't know, buddy.
Right.
But
right.
I'm just kind of hanging out and listening to music in the back.
Right, right.
But, yeah, Jeb Corliss and Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah. It must have been nice, though, hearing Conan laugh. Could you hear him, or were you just, like, elsewhere? You could hear the laughs?
Yeah, I could. When he laughed at the first thing I did, even before I, like, even said it, my first joke, he was kind of laughing. Because I think if I remember, it was like, things are going well, and I appreciate your interest. And I heard him laughing. I was like, oh, well. If he's laughing,
right?
Well, that's a pretty good
nobody
sound.
Else needs to fucking laugh, even right. though they were. But I mean,
yeah.
I get the impression that honestly, like making the guy laugh is not to kiss your ass too much, but it is difficult. We have Brian Sack on here who writes for the show a couple weeks ago, and you know he's Conan's a tough audience. Like, it's a very tough one. Were you here for that one?
Yeah,
you were. What am I talking about? Yeah, you were.
Yeah,
he's like super nice guy.
And also too. Just the legacy of the work that he's done leading up. And he is the only guy that got to the chair through improv and writing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. Everyone else who hosts late night shows, they're all stand-up.
Sure.
He never did stand-up.
Not once.
And I saw him, and here's what we talked about. Mm-hmm. There's a group called the Transformers that they perform here in Los Angeles. They've been around forever. And Conan was a former member.
Okay.
And one of the members, due to some medical issues, was retiring.
Okay.
So Conan came out for their last show and played with these guys. He did like an hour set.
Oh, wow.
And we were, the theater, there's probably like 30 of us at the show.
Wow.
So we all sat and watched him play with his old group for an hour.
Oh my God.
And then afterwards we went to the bar down the street and he hung around and drank beers with everyone for like an hour or two.
Oh my God.
So that's where I first kind of like met him, but it wasn't like we chatted at all.
Right.
But that was what I talked to him about was, you know, the Transformers and the show that I saw that he did. And, he was like, I was just going to go to show to watch. And they dragged me up and, you know. But they crushed. He was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
He more than anyone else, him and Craig Ferguson, when they're interviewing someone, they're actively listening to them.
Yeah.
And they can see when something, like, they feel that teetering from the audience. Ooh, this is potentially funny.
Right.
Yeah. And they lock in on it, and they blow it out of the water.
Yeah, and you need to sometimes.
Absolutely. And I mean, they're also, too, if someone is, like an actor or something, and they're used to being more serious, and then you find that you establish a rapport, and then suddenly they're getting laughs, and then suddenly they're looser and more open and confident. Connecting with people, especially famous people who are strangers, is not easy.
No.
And you think that just because someone's famous that they know other famous people. It's just like, well, you know, Herbie Hancock, you know Axl Rose, right? Get in here. I call it the Rolling Stone mentality.
Uh-huh.
You see the back pictures of the Rolling Stone, they're like, it's Keith Richards and Pink.
Right. It's just,
why? Because they were standing close and some guy like, you get in there.
Right.
So to let people get their guard down, it's not a lot of people have that gift.
No. That's a huge skill. Are there, like, thinking back, are there a lot of old talk show appearances you can remember standing out, like, for stand-ups that you really love?
No, not really. I didn't really watch a lot of television when I was growing
up. No?
I wasn't allowed. We had, I could watch 2 hours of television a week.
Oh,
I had to, like, turn in the schedule to my parents before and have, like, what I would be watching.
Holy shit.
So, I mean, you know, everyone has their own.
Of course, but I mean, for a guy who's gunning for, you know, acting gigs, like, that's gotta be, there had to have been some sort of growing desire in you to watch more, yes, or just perform.
Maybe.
Is it just performing?
Just performing.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think of myself, and I still don't a lot of times, as just like a straight actor, as more of a performer.
Yeah.
Yeah, just doing live shows, and doing film and television and stuff like that, but there are people, I mean, Ben Kingsley is an actor.
Sure.
I'm a performer.
Right.
I can pull it off, but if it calls for, like, just this breadth and, you know, Alec Guinness, once you call yourself an actor, you step in to the same hemisphere as Marlon Brando.
Right.
And if you're ready to call yourself a colleague of someone like that, you know, that's cool, but yeah, I don't know how. I don't know. There are people who are better than it, than me.
Well, yeah. Should have. She closed the door. I didn't even know.
She did. She was pretty mad, Jason.
Pretty upset.
You should have seen.
Is it me?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The door just closed. For those of you who are watching at home. I like to do watching at home jokes on podcasts. I think it kind of.
Yeah.
Brev is the soul of wit.
I like that one. That's good. So then, all right. Well, then that actually would be more appropriate. Then I mean, I guess we've talked about Dice was the big, you know, the one you remember making. I mean, did you make friends through comedy outside of that?
No. Not really.
No.
I mean, not since I started.
Kind of a lone gunman in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, I guess everyone has their own path. Mine mm-hmm. was just that. And I've really made a lot of great friends from doing comedy now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just because we see each other all the time.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, and if you like someone as a person, and then they're hilarious. You have a hilarious friend.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, when you talk to a lot of comedians, there is, as you know, there's the tears of a clown bullshit that you have to deal with sometimes. Then there's sometimes just a desire to be loved, which is, you know, everybody's thing. But like,
not my thing.
I know. Right. When I sit here and listen, talk to you, you have none of. I can't read you. Right. I can't say. Well, this must have affected you this way. Yeah. No. So I'm just like, what can you give me an idea? Then you don't have to make this autobiographical, but I am.
All right, cue the French horns, everyone.
Right?
When was the most? Which uncle touched you? Was it Keith?
I am curious.
Was it?
I am curious.
It's usually Keith. If ever an uncle touches you, it's Keith or Ross. Don't trust an uncle named Ross.
We have cats.
Kitty cat.
But
it's so funny that I mentioned the name Ross and a cat jumps on me.
Yeah.
Coincidence? Probably. Yeah, more than likely.
Because, I don't know, I find it interesting that I don't know, what's your history with comedy? Why is it so important? It's obviously important to be funny.
I just love making people laugh more than anything else.
Yeah.
Now, I heard an interview with Seinfeld, and he was talking about, he's like, when you're a kid, everyone's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's just always cracking up jokes, and everyone's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people get older, they stop being funny.
Yeah.
And I just never stopped being funny. That registered with me.
Yeah.
I actually, despite how I'm coming off today, I'm a shy person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really engage a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not... Where you go, okay, hey, $5 right here is for you.
Yeah.
In everyday life, I'm just a little more muted and quiet.
Sure.
But I still like to connect.
Well, I think it's cool that it's fulfilling when I, and because you can say that laughter is fulfilling to people, but it can mean a ton of different things. It can mean like it's filling a hole, but for you, it sounds like it's genuinely, I won't say spiritual, but it sounds like it's a really important, just a piece of your life that you absolutely just need to be there.
Yeah,
I've
been doing it, I mean, pretty much my whole adult life.
Yeah.
In some form of the industry or another way, I've always been a part of it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, I don't know, when you're on the treadmill, you're always running, so.
Sure.
You're always on, in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But not, I don't know. If I wasn't doing this, I don't know. I don't have a plan B.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. We'll cut all this. We should cut. None of that's funny.
None of that.
It's not even informative or thought-provoking,
no.
But otherwise known as Knuts and Plan X.
I like that.
Which is just tangential things, and like, you guys are nodding like he's going somewhere, and I just like peter out and hope you stop looking at me.
I wish I had subscribed to that of a Plan A always, but my life has been a series of Plan B's. It's always been like,
what degree are you working on right now?
Yeah, I'm going to law school now. And
yeah,
it's
but
like,
how many degrees is it?
My third.
Third?
Yeah, third degree.
Third master's?
No, this would be a law degree, a JD, a doctorate.
Right.
Yeah, so.
I thought you were going to say it's my third degree black belt.
No.
Yeah.
So it's like it's always been Plan B. I went to school for music, but at the same time I had a minor in business, you know? And then I went to school, master's in literature, but it was only because I was working full time. I never, allowed myself, even though I was playing, when we were on tour and stuff like that. When I was going on tour and stuff, I did it. But I always had a foot back plan that I never let myself.
When I first moved to LA, I started working as a PA for free.
Yeah.
And I felt lucky to know people that were involved in the industry.
Sure.
So I worked, I took out a loan, I had $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And I just worked for free for probably 6 months.
Shit.
And then I met some people, and then I started to make like $50 a day.
Yeah.
And then like a bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was like at the height of my PA career,
mm-hmm.
like music videos and commercials, mm-hmm. it's like $1.75 a day.
Yeah.
But it was always within the industry.
Yeah.
And it was always like a flat rate thing. So mm-hmm. like, so I made $1.75.
Yeah.
How long did you work to get it?
15, 16.
21 hours. Yeah. 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 And the PA was always first one there, last one to go.
Yeah, yeah.
All that stuff.
I remember doing all that shit.
Yeah, but I was also trying to learn how to be an actor as well.
Yeah.
And you can, if you can get yourself on set and you can learn how to be an actor without being the actor,
mm-hmm.
it's a powerful place to be coming from. You can just hold, you can be the guy who empties the trash can as you see, okay, he walks in and hits his mark. And okay,
yeah.
You know what everyone's doing because you're there all the time.
Do you ever do extra work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I first moved to LA, I only did it a couple few times, but I was on a miniseries. I think I did like 5 days on the 60s.
Oh,
NBC
yeah.
Miniseries. Uh-huh. Yeah, I had like long hair at the time.
Was Jerry O'Connell in that?
Jerry O'Connell, Julia Stiles.
Yeah, that's right. Jerry O'Connell.
Charles S. Dutton.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Rock. So I did like 5 days because I had long hair and I had like a beard. And they, in the area of San Pedro, they recreated and made it Haight-Ashbury.
Shit.
So you just, like, we're hanging out. Wow. And then we went to, like, you can't see this at home, but I'm air quoting Woodstock, which was, like, an open field. And we were, like, hanging out in tents and, you know, it was crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, like, I guess it was the slowly but surely working your way.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of extra work, too, and I recall sort of learning things about... I don't know. I feel like you learn more about the other extras, or at least not like you learn yeah. all the characters that are on set.
Sure.
I've been thinking about doing a whole other podcast about that, listening to people's stories, because you need some fucking nut jobs doing that.
Wait a minute, doing extra work?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
I know, right? See, that was my reversal out of mm-hmm. all. Are you crazy?
That's
crazy. No, I mean, there's something to be said about time and a place to do stuff like that.
Sure.
I'd say this in... my act, but there's a friend of mine who went out with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
They went back to her place and watched a DVD compilation of her doing extra work. Here's me on the closer. What?
Oh my god!
It is. I'm delivering a drink to Felicia Rashad. That's great.
Is Felicia Rashad on that show? Really?
No, I just, that was the first actress's name I could think
really
of.
Excited.
So that was
and generally
date?
Speaking, yeah. Well, I think I had dinner and they're like, oh, let's go back to your place. Like, hold on, before we have sex, let me ruin the sex, man.
Oh my god.
But like, he earned something from watching that.
Holy cow.
Yeah, well, I believe it was Depeche Mode who said, people are people.
That is true. I don't remember the rest of the lyrics.
You and I should get it along so awfully.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to try and rhyme. Why should it be?
Yeah.
Awfully.
Pretty awful rhyme.
Oh, oh, oh.
In and of itself.
Well, I have Depeche Mode as one of my Pandora channels.
Really?
I love Depeche Mode. I think they're great.
I love Pandora.
Yeah. They're my favorite band. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
You know, my new band, Pandora, plays all my favorite songs.
Yeah.
You're right, Mike?
I didn't know where to go there.
You had no idea.
There was something there, and I was going to go for it, and I said, no.
See, I wasn't going to go for it either, but it hasn't stopped me from talking since I got here.
Do you have a favorite comedy album? I mean, this one is obviously important to you, but
I mean, I really like Let's Get Small.
Yeah. 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 That's
and himself, but everyone says Bill Cosby himself.
So. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Those are two amazing albums.
Yeah.
Those are two brilliant albums. I mean,
I'm so mad at my mother.
If you listen, I mean, is there something about those that's particularly influenced the type of comedy you do?
Steve Martin was always positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was always upbeat. Mm-hmm. And even when he was saying something that was like, you know, that was down, he still made it like, well, this is the greatest thing ever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Even about shooting his girlfriend with a shotgun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Or his mom, you know?
Yeah,
that's true.
And then Bill Cosby. I mean, we've gone over this, but we talk about it. Every time we ask somebody, Bill Cosby's on the list.
That's why. I mean, his vinyl stuff, I mean, his early albums, even if you came to it, anytime you came to it, it's timeless.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And he also produced himself.
Yeah.
Which is very important.
See, I didn't know that.
He produced himself.
Mm-hmm.
Himself.
Mm-hmm.
It was him and his wife, Camille. they did the whole thing. I mean, and also too, this was at this time he'd already done I Spy, and he had been a part of these other things. So when you have enough money in the bank,
mm-hmm.
and you can pick your shots, it's a great place to be coming from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Because you don't need, like, all I need is $75,000 and three cameras,
right.
and help me rent this thing, and mm-hmm. then people get attached to your art.
Yeah.
And it's smart.
Yeah.
It's really smart.
I mean, Louis C.K.'s five... Did you know Aziz? I'm sorry. I didn't realize he just did a $5 thing, too. I'm just curious how well that's going to do.
I haven't.
I mean, it won't do as well as Louis C.K.'s, because Louis C.K. is just... He's massive.
Yeah, but it'll still do well because of his Parks and Rec following and stuff.
Of course.
He'll do well. It's just...
I almost sucked on those! I love Aziz. He's hilarious.
He's fucking hilarious. He's brilliant. When I actually first saw him, I was an extra on the set of Funny People, and he's doing a bit, and I seriously straight up did not know that this character was not Aziz. Like,
Randy!
Yeah, he was doing Randy,
dude,
and I didn't know.
Dude, I like at least once every 6 months, I'll go back and watch a Randy video.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're sucking my dick, Randy! Such a brilliant indictment of, you know... Big and over the top, but not saying anything, Randy. Hilarious. You see that SNL thing with Zach Galifianakis, where they had the different comedians? It's a catchphrase.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Fucking good. Yeah. Oh, wait, who was doing, what's his name?
He was just,
Charlie Day was Dane Cook, basically.
Yeah, Zach had the air horn. His whole thing was just...
Really? Oh, fuck, I didn't see that one.
That's good.
That's amazing.
That's good. Yeah.
wonderful.
So, what do we do? Are we listening to the album, or...
No, we just talk about it, and I won't throw clips in.
He's gonna throw clips in later.
You have to do the theme song.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, and I honestly...
Do you think he sang? Do you think that was him singing?
Yeah, I do.
Really? Can we listen to it together? Do you have it?
Absolutely. Do you have it on there? You should be able to pull
it
out, right?
Brooklyn Bad Boy!
And that's actually the thing I was curious about. I'm like, wait a minute. Because like, I don't know anything about... Andrew Dice Clay. I don't know about his history as a person. I don't know if he has a theatrical background or if he's just some guy.
Yeah, at the beginning of my album, I just like recorded a like kind of a personal message to the person listening to.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, hey, thanks for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I had a great time doing it. And then I hear Brooklyn Bad Boy.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, why didn't I just, write my own theme song?
That needs to happen on the next album.
Knutson Bad Boy. Hey, no one can ever pronounce my name.
I'm doing okay, right?
Fantastic.
What did people mostly say?
Knutson.
Knutson.
Because there's also that Derry. And my name is spelled exactly the same.
Right.
But as it was explained to me, Knutson is Norwegian, and then Knutson is Danish.
Really?
According to the legend, there is a Danish King Canute, and his entire lineage is Knutson.
Wow.
And in Denmark, it's like Johnson or Smith for America.
Interesting. My last name means damp. I kid you not. It means damp.
Oh, here we go.
That's him.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But,
oh, that's wonderful.
It's definitely going in there. Ridiculous.
I fought the struggle.
Curious as to what that might be.
Me and my mom down here for you.
Holy crap. I don't remember this being banned from my house, but my parents just thought it was stupid, so I wouldn't have been out. They wouldn't have bought it. So, yeah, that's funny that somebody's parents owned it. And then let their kids listen to it.
His real last name is Silverstein.
Huh?
Andrew Clay Silverstein.
Andrew Clay Silverstein. I did not know that.
That's something I didn't know either.
So oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's something I learned. Yeah.
All right.
Brooklyn Bad Boy. Well, there you go. I mean, and also, too, that was the comedy boom where people just took on these giant personas.
Sure.
And everyone bought it.
Yeah, and I just don't think it would work now. I mean, maybe you could. I guess I
can look at someone like Cat Williams.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
yeah.
He's got this larger than life thing. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah. No,
but there's not really a moment where I think he gets off stage and is like, "Yeah, I'm still that guy." He's probably really,
oh, yeah.
Chill. Yeah. You know, I would be. It'd be too much work to try and keep that all the time.
It feels like it was more marketable then, and now it would be considered a little more too cynical to have a character that it feels like you're trying to put in everybody's face, and you're clearly trying to market. I could be wrong on that, but I mean, I feel like there's more to be said if somebody's marketing themselves as just a funny dude, as a funny guy. Like you said, you've got a character, but it's more like, I can deliver this shit in a funny way, I've got some good observations, and I'm also a good actor, you know? So, I don't know. Yeah?
Yeah.
Really? That's good.
Nora Dunn refused to do his episode of Saturday Night Live.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And so did Sinead O'Connor with the musical guest, who said no because he was hosting. And then when Dice hosted, she did the next episode, which then turned into be the Pope
episode. The Pope episode, huh? Wow.
She was just in the news recently.
For what? She got married or something.
No,
right?
She was like saying that she was feeling suicidal.
Yeah.
And then she also got married in for like,
it was like
2 days.
A week or something.
So, but that's the definition of celebrity. Having people know you that you don't know.
Yeah, sure.
So here we are, we're sitting in a room talking about Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
And she has no idea who we are.
She might.
However, I'm going to a barbecue tomorrow night.
Oh,
yeah. I need her. If she comes to Studio City.
I'm sure she hangs out at Studio City.
Oh, why wouldn't you?
Did you get the e-vite?
Did you get the e-vite? You ready for this one? I don't respond to them because I haven't decided how to spell. How many F's are in?
I feel like it's a PH. Maybe.
You know what? What's really weird is when you get e-vites from people you don't even know. Julie and Jeff. Oof. What? I just, you know, because especially even doing this, have to open your... I mean, I'm sitting here because we're wide open books.
Of course.
So you have to make yourself open and accessible.
Right.
Julie and Jeff at a barbecue. Pool party.
I'll just give everybody your email.
No presents? Your presence is a present.
We'll tell the audience your email, and you'll get a bunch of extra
emails. It's online, you know, and the thing is, you can go on my website, and you can send me an email directly. And so, with that, there's these spam bots.
Right.
I am a big fan of yours from Ukraine. Please for to send me 18 hologram headshots for my cousin eBay. I don't know.
We can just cut it.
Well, we'll just put in something, a clip there.
That's fine. That was a really funny clip. All right, so what I was asking before it died was why you might recommend Dice Rules, and you said...
You know, I think you'd be all right if you didn't listen to Dice Rules.
Do you have another album you might recommend to people?
My friend Rory Scovel just did an album called Dilation, which is great.
All right.
Yeah, Rory's awesome.
So normally people pimp themselves at the end, but do you have anything you want to plug? Any shows coming up and stuff?
Kyle Kinane, Death of the Party.
Yeah.
Great album.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great album.
Yeah.
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
That's
really good. Really great.
Really?
Really great.
Anything of yours that you want to plug? Website, YouTube channel?
Lennon Sisters have wax from the 50s.
Yeah.
They're really...
They're great.
Yeah, Lennon Sisters.
They're fantastic.
The monks
of
Belgium, boy, they chant. They can really chant.
Beer, too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
To be fair.
As far as what I'm doing, I don't even own a computer.
Okay.
So, I don't know if there's... Okay. no, I really don't. I mean, I put all my stuff Twitter, Facebook. You can. There's like buttons on my website.
Okay.
MattKnudsen.com.
Do you know what you are at Twitter?
At Matt Knudsen.
Matt Knudsen.
Yeah, MattKnudsen.com. Okay. At Matt Knudsen. Mm-hmm. YouTube.com/MattKnudsen.
There we go.
I did a video, this was a couple weeks ago, but it always makes me laugh. I've watched it a couple times since then. Where I went to dry cleaners with my headshots and dropped them off as if they were requested. So I went with my, and I'm air quoting, publicist and my mm-hmm. photographer and my videographer, and the four of us just walked into like 10 dry cleaners with my pictures. Amazing. And I didn't even really say much of anything. I just stood in the background and like had my sunglasses on. And my publicist did all the talking until it was time for me to kind of step in and shake hands and take a picture. So it was just, you know, just play, I guess, movie star.
That's amazing.
And I liked it too because, again, no one's really getting shit on.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that could happen is I took 40 seconds of their life and gave them a picture.
Yeah.
And before I went to the dry cleaners, I actually did, like, Google. I found the name of them and I tried to use their name and what I wrote to them and Express Cleaners. It was an express pleasure.
That's awesome.
So in case they did put it up, I wouldn't seem like an idiot. I don't care for that guy's joke at all. I just heard that on my YouTube channel.
Awesome.
I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, that's it. Anytime I get an idea. Oh, I'm going to be in a movie with Sean Penn in the fall called Gangster Squad.
Holy
Sean
shit.
Penn and Ryan Gosling. Yeah, I had like a few lines.
Nice.
With Sean Penn.
So, awesome.
Yeah. So, I'm going to be on this podcast called Comedy on Vinyl.
Oh,
if you guys get a chance to check it out.
So sorry. That's the end of a career, right?
That's right. That was once I was banned from show business, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, Grease 2.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. I guess Adrian's Med's not a cool enough rider.
Right.
Because Michelle Pfeiffer wants a cool rider.
It's true.
Yeah.
She wants Max Caulfield.
O-O-L.
We're doing a podcast of that
really?
In a couple months. Yeah, yeah, we're gonna try and get Adrian Smith on it.
Yeah,
he'll do it. I've met him before.
Have you really?
Yeah.
I'll be yours in springtime when the snow is on the ground. I'll warm you to December, and I'll always be around.
I'm like a huge musical theater nerd, and I have no idea.
You've never seen Grease 2?
I've never seen Grease.
Where does the pollen go? Christopher McDonald.
Yep. He showed up to his
show. I'll tell you what, find me one of these guys that's more successful than Christopher McDonald in that group.
Right, no, absolutely.
That guy is absolutely. The man. I mean, he's in everything.
He showed up to a showing of the movie once.
Did
he? I was at. Yeah, he showed up with his hair greased and with a jacket on.
Good for him.
Yeah,
man.
He's a pimp.
I love that guy.
He's
and
awesome.
The thing is, he also is one of those character actors mm-hmm. who found their thing, nail their thing, and play their thing in everything.
Yeah. Brilliantly. Like,
hey, Captain Madison. That's his essence.
Mm-hmm.
It's power, it's status, and he plays it all the time.
So I think at the end of the day, what we can say is Matt Knudsen wants you to watch Grease 2.
Grease 2, the Lennon Sisters.
And
don't forget to listen to Comedy on Vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out my webcam. The webcam is just shoots only my bed.
Wow.
Just not my bedroom, exclusively the bed. So if I'm ever laying on the bed doing some monkey business, you'll be able to watch that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's finger.biz.
Finger.biz.
Yeah, finger.org was taken.
Of course.
It's a website about finger research.
Really?
It's a government. But I got finger.biz. But it also kind of tells you what to expect on the website.
Oh,
like finger biz.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to be getting? Well, you go on that website. You a fan of finger? Yeah. Well, prove it by going on finger.biz.
I'm gonna
so finger me. Yeah.
Great. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Mike, thanks again.
Yeah.
And Matt, thank you so much.
My pleasure, gentlemen. It was fantastic without sacrificing on the greatness.
Everybody have a wonderful time and have a good thing.
Comedy on Vinyl is recorded at Fort Awesome Studios in beautiful downtown Burbank, California. Our producer is Mike Warden, our host is Jason Klom, and he's also the editor. Comedy on Vinyl is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. You can check out all of our other podcasts, books, videos, other audio stuff, probably some writing, at stolendress.com. And please check out Comedy on Vinyl at facebook.com/comedyonvinyl, twitter.com/comedyonvinyl, and please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us highly, and spread the word. Thank you so much for listening to Comedy on Vinyl this week, and have a very good thing. I'm unbelievable.